Grace, mercy, and peace, and the light of our Savior Jesus Christ shine on you and be with you. Amen. Have you ever heard the phrase, actions speak louder than words? I'm sure you've probably heard it. Is it true? Yeah, you can say all you want, I'm going to do that, or this is what I think, or this is who I am. But until you actually back that up with your actions, it's just words. And so there's power in our actions. There's power in not just, you know, talking the talk, but making sure you're walking the walk. To back up your faith, your life, who you are with your actions. But sometimes even actions can fall short. One of the amazing things that Jesus said is he looked at the Pharisees of his day and he said, you're doing all the right things, but your heart's not in it. Paul picked up on that on the letter he wrote to the church in Corinth. You often think of 1 Corinthians 13 as the love chapter, but Paul kind of gives us this vision of the greatness of love. And if you don't have love, you gain nothing. You are nothing. You have nothing. Do you remember how 1 Corinthians 13 starts out? It says, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels. Can you imagine that? Speaking in the tongue of angels, but do not have love, I'm just like a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal, just making noise. And so what's important is that there's love there, love coming from the inside. Even if I have faith that can move mountains, right, your actions are doing great things in this world, but you don't have love, what are you? You are nothing. He goes on to say, if you give all that I possess to the poor, give my body to hardship that I'm all that I may boast, all right? But I have not love, I gain nothing. And so not only is actions important, but to make sure that we're doing our actions out of the right heart, right? That's the amazing thing that Jesus said. It's not just do not commit adultery, but even if you look at a woman and lust after them with your eyes and in your heart, what have you committed? A sin, adultery in your mind, in your heart. And so Paul is trying to say it, even if you do great things but have not love, what's it worth? Nothing. And so Jesus is calling us in our passage today. He says, you are the salt of the earth. He says, you are the light of the world. He's challenging us to live in a way that's different in the world. As followers of Jesus, if we're light, what do we find a lot of in this world? Darkness, right? Let your light shine. If he calls us to be salt, what do we find a lot in this world? Maybe decay, right? And salt preserves it. Salt flavors it. We have a lot of blandness in this world, a lot of sameness. But be salt, flavor the world. What are we flavoring it of? Not just light or salt, but I think it's the love of Jesus. It's this love of Jesus through whom we live and we serve and we act. That why do we do what we do? We do it because Jesus first loved us. And we want the world to see the light of Christ through us. We want this decaying world to be preserved by the salt that makes a difference, that brings life to this world. We are the salt. We are the light of the world. And this is a theme that's come up a couple times in the last couple years at church. I was kind of going through and thinking about some sermons. And a few years ago, you know, we talked about how we're better together, that the word you hear isn't singular as a person, but it's plural, all right? So it really should be translated, you all, all right? Or if you're Texas, how would you say it? y'all, all right? I'm not from Texas, so it's just fun to say, all right? Or y'all are the salt of the earth. Or if you're really from Texas, you say all y'all, right? Okay? All y'all are the light of the world. All y'all are the salt of the earth. I can't even say it right. Okay? But we're in this together. And so the shining and the salting of this world isn't an individual activity. It's something that we do together. It's something that we do as a church, as the body of Christ. And because we are better together, our lives were never designed to be a solo act, right? We're never designed. When God saw Adam in the very beginning of the garden all by himself, remember what God said? It's not good for a man to be alone, all right? God looked at poor Adam and said, man, that boy needs help, right? Okay? He looks at guys and says, wow, it's not good for a man to be alone. And so he created woman to be fellowship, to be one. He sent Jesus into this world so that we're not alone, but we're together. We're united in the body of Christ, brothers and sisters in Christ. We are better together. And so being salty, being light, is so much easier when you do it together, when you have an encouragement to remember you're not the only grain of salt. How much difference is one grain of salt going to make in a dish? Not much. But if you get a few people together, a few Christians shaken out, a little bit more flavor, a little bit more preservative. If you get one candle, how much light is that going to make? In a dark room, it'll make a lot, right? But if you get a lot of candles together, you can see into the corners of the room. There's a difference that happens when we do this together. Not only are we called to do this together, but we are called, we are made to be different. Different than the darkness of this world. Different from the decay of this world. And if you remember that our definition of different is living a life in such a way that it demands an explanation. You know, Molly or Maya, Annie mentioned to you that if you were nice to somebody that nobody else is nice at, they'd say, well, why? Why are you so nice? Or why are you so full of joy? Right, Roger? Yeah, okay. I don't know why anybody's laughing, but why are you just living in such a way? It demands an explanation, all right? We are called to be different, all right? Not to pick on anybody else, but Isaac, I saw your green and your turtles today, and you are different, man, and it's great, all right? It's marvelous, and you relate to teens and kids. And I was thinking to myself, I'd never wear anything like that, but I'm glad you can and you do, all right? And it gives you a chance to share, why? Why can you be so bold and so joyful, all right? And I'm saying this in the nicest way, all right? I love it, okay? I wish I could be more like you, all right? But God has not only called you to be different, but to make a difference in this world. And I think that's what being salt and light means, making a difference in this world. That's what Jesus did. He made a difference in this world, loving one person at a time. Ultimately, it led Jesus to the cross. Jesus says in John 3 that when the Son of Man is lifted up, he will draw all people to himself. So what I love about this picture is pictures of young and old, pastors and people with tattoos. It's people of men and women from all different paths of life. And what unites them? They're drawn by the blood that Jesus shed for them on the cross. They're drawn by the one who loved them, not just with words, but with actions. They are drawn by a Savior who was fully God and fully man, who was perfect, who didn't deserve to die, but because he loved us and desired all people to be saved, Jesus shed his blood on the cross. I think that's one of the things that people ask about. Why would Jesus die? And we know it, the answer is pretty simple, right? Because he loves us. It was the only way to save us from our sin. And not just us, but the entire world. Jesus looks at each person and says, I love you so much, I'm willing to sacrifice everything for you. That's being light. That's being salt. And so I want to share with you, I think the rest of this sermon, some ideas. How to be salt, how to be light. And as I go through these, try to latch on to one and say, this is what I want to try to do this next week, to be salt and light. Maybe it's looking another person in the eyes and just speaking a kind word. Maybe it's acknowledging someone who is different from you and saying, maybe just in your mind, maybe through that kind word, you were made in the image of God. You have the likeness of God. You have human dignity because God created you and loved you. Maybe it's generosity with your compassion, with your time, your money, to care and make a difference in the lives of those who need so much, the poor, the hungry, the homeless. Maybe this week it's just, all right, God, use me. And you keep an extra 20 in your pocket, or maybe a 5 or a 10, or you buy a gift card to McDonald's or Burger King, and you find somebody to give it to. Maybe it's a time that you're going to give to say, I want to volunteer somewhere where I know I can make a difference. Be generous. Maybe it's a relationship that's crumbled. Maybe it's a hurt that you have dealt with, and it's starting a conversation, trying to rebuild that relationship when really what you feel inside is indifference or pain or anger. But because of what Jesus has done for you, you want to shine the light and be salt and share love with somebody that maybe you need to extend grace to, forgiveness to, love to. It's not only praying for yourself and your family that God will provide all that you need, but praying for the same thing for those who have hurt you, for those who are different from you. Maybe you're praying with those who disagree with or whom you disagree and just make you mad, right? Pray that God may bless them and that they might realize and understand who is the one who gives all good gifts. Maybe being light and being salt is showing a faithfulness, a higher level of commitment to others. Then instead of speaking first, it's listening, is being just being available, spending time, quality time with your spouse, with your loved ones, with your kids, with somebody who maybe that's their love language, is giving them that time and attention. Maybe it's choosing a life of self-giving rather than taking and acquiring. Maybe it's being vulnerable rather than being defensive. Maybe it's seeking to be intimate in a vulnerable way rather than staying isolated. All right, so just to kind of, it's loving God, loving your neighbor, loving your enemy. Sometimes the toughest person is loving yourself, right? Because God looks at each one of you. And what does God say? You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I love you so much. I sent my son Jesus to die for you. Receive this gift of forgiveness, of life and salvation through faith. Not that you deserve it or have earned it, but because you love me too. Sometimes instead of relying on our feelings, it's making that choice to love, to shine, to share the salt with others. I think ultimately, being light and being salt means what? It really looks like the life of Jesus Christ. It's asking ourselves, how can I share the love of Jesus in this moment with these people? So, you know, it's one of these things, serving others who are made in the image of God, being generous, reaching out to someone first, maybe even if they've hurt you. Maybe it's praying for loved ones, praying for your enemies, putting others first, choosing self-giving, vulnerability, intimacy. It's loving all people, even your enemy. Is there something up there that you can say, God, that's what you're calling me to do? I know I'm not so good at this, but help me be your salt. Help me be your light. Help me not just, you know, to say I'm a follower of Jesus, but help me to follow Jesus by being and living like Jesus. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, you are a God of love, of mercy, of compassion, and you sent your Son, Jesus Christ. And so often, Lord, we don't measure up to your expectations for us. We thank you for the forgiveness and the new beginnings and the fresh starts and your Holy Spirit that allows us to do what is impossible, to love freely, to share forgiveness with others, to be self-giving rather than taking. I pray, Lord, that the people of Talmadge Lutheran Church, as we go into our homes, as we go into this world, that they may shine, that they may season, that they may preserve what is decaying and shine in the darkness, that others may take note and ask us the reason for our hope. May they see Jesus in us before they hear him from our lips. We pray this all in the powerful, wonderful name of Jesus. And all God's people said,